Blog Talk Radio.
We ain't nothing but some true joy cheese. We ain't nothing but some cheese. Yeah.
Cheese on the podcast.
Instead of dipping, serving, swaying three, swaying three.
Outsiders Boxing Podcast, January 7, 2018. What's going on, fam? At our new time to be regularly scheduled as so. I'm joined by my man D. Willow Wilson, Houston, Texas. Hope everybody's enjoying their Sunday watching the playoffs. I know that word playoff might scare my man D. Willow Wilson, because come playoff time, Houston Rockets, they got the Warriors. What's up, Willow? How you doing?
Oh, man. Hey, RC, that's funny. It's real. It's real funny that you would say that. You know, I call you this morning. Well, I text you this morning. I say, we're out. We're live in the hour of five. Let's do a short show because the offs are on. You hit me with the offs are on. What are you talking about?
I don't remember this.
You know, for a Miami Hurricane or a San Francisco 49er or a Sacramento Kings fan, you haven't really heard the word offs in a long, long time. So then you try to switch it up on me to talk about a team that's always in the playoffs. I mean, it's hilarious. That's how we're going to start 2018 with you stealing my jokes. But it's all good, man. Happy New Year's to everybody. I'm glad we get to start off. Like you said, we're hitting it at, what is this, 3 Eastern time. 12 Pacific. That's what we're doing every week. We're pushing hard, man. So, hey, what's up, RC? Much love, man, as always. Let's talk some boxing, bro.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, my man. I don't know if my memory is too sharp or not, but I can't recollect some of these things you said this morning about you texting me and me stealing jokes. I don't know about that. But since we talked about playoffs, I would like to see
you.
I was happy to see the Rams lose yesterday. I woke up. I didn't even know the Bills are playing right now against the Jags. Willa, before we get to boxing talk, since the playoffs are on and we mentioned it, since we want to get the joke started up so early in the morning, how you see the playoffs turning out, my man? Who you rocking with in the NFC and the AFC?
You know me. I rock with Cam. You know, I love seeing Mariota, and I want to see Tyrod Taylor win. You know, other than that, it really don't matter to me. I would love to see Cam versus Cam can play New England, right? Yeah, I would love to see that. Maybe
yeah,
the Saints
yeah.
versus New England if not. But I also would love, you know, I am a Tom Brady fan, but like Triple G and like Lomachenko, these are guys, well, not Lomachenko, like Triple G, these are guys that I did like at first. And I still sort of like, but, you know, the fans and the fanfare and all the slobbing of their tips just sort of makes me mad. So I would love to see Brady lose, but at the same time, I want to see him win. So, you know, maybe Brady versus Breeze, that would be a good one, or Brady versus Cam. But besides that, I like to see good football. If Mariota gets in there, which is one of my guys, you know, he's not black, but he ain't white. So he's one of my guys. I like to root for guys like that. So you know. I was just about to say
the correlation of the three teams you mentioned that you like, Carolina, Tennessee, and Buffalo. I wonder what all those teams have in common. But no worries. You said you're a Tom Brady fan, so you like cheaters, Willis? I don't really care much for cheaters, so I hope to see Tom Brady lose any year he's in the playoffs. Deflategate, Spygate, and now it's Trainergate, where he has that weird trainer who's supposedly making him play like in his prime at the age of 40. Something else is going to come up about this Tom Brady guy. And I don't like cheaters, Will. I'm surprised you're a Tom Brady guy. That really threw me off right now.
Hey, no. I am I'm a big Tom Brady fan. You know, I was a Bledsoe fan. And then, you know, he took over the spot. And since then, at that point, Houston didn't have a team. You know, I was sort of rocking with with the Titans, but not really. You know, they still had Aaron McNair, then they had B.Y. So I was still sort of rocking with them. But, you know, Brady, you know, at one point, Brady and Kobe were my guys, you know, in sports. And Brady still is. You know, I think he's the GOAT. Is he a cheater? Yes. Does that sort of diminish? Like, if somebody says he isn't the GOAT because he's a cheater, I can't really, you know, I could maybe agree with that. You know, the cheating and all this nonsense is sort of, you know, taken away from it. And that's also a reason why he's not high on my list. Also, he cheats, and then they're still slobbing him up like they do. So, you know, but I am a Brady fan. I'm a Belichick fan. I'm a New England Patriots fan. So, you know, but I would love to see them lose.
Well, I'm sure the Houston Texans and their fan base got to be a little disappointed in you, Mr. Houston Texas, not going with the home team, especially since your guy Deshaun Watson there now.
No, I still see. You got to realize I was an Oilers fan. They left and I moved on. Then they came back and they sucked. And then they didn't pick up Vince. And then all the foolery. You know, it's just a lot of foolery. Yeah. Then they get rid of Andre Johnson. So I used to ride with the Texans. But, you know, they get rid of Andre Johnson, somebody, you know, that is the core. You know, he was like he's the best player of all time in the Texans history. And for them to get rid of him, you know, and not, you know, it was just simp stuff. So, I stopped rooting for him. And also they were losing. It's very hard to root for a team that loses all the damn time, especially for a guy like me. I'm emotional, and you know, and it would just ruin my Sundays, ruin my Mondays. So I just stopped messing with them. You know what I'm saying? I stopped messing with them, and you know, they got Watson back. They got Watson, and I'm rooting for him. I'm definitely rooting for Watson. I definitely will start rooting a little more for the Texans. But I'm a Cam guy. I'm a Winston guy, and that just is what it is.
All right, there you go.
But Rockets, Astros. Those are my guys. The Rockets and Astros are my two favorite teams. The Rockets and the Astros. Lifelong fans.
Yeah, who could forget? Who could forget that little silly banjo song that you used to play when the Astros were in the World Series? I can never get that song out of my head now. Never heard it, but until then, and now it's stuck in my head. Cemented forever. But you mentioned the best player of all time from Houston, Andre Johnson. He's from the U, coach. But anyways, I just want to say predictions, I got it. Being Carolina against New England, don't be too surprised if it's a rematch between Atlanta and New England because, you know, if old boy Walker Tuan Wentz and Philly's still there, they're winning the whole thing. But I ain't believing in Nick Foles. I ain't believing in Case Keenum. I'm not believing in any of those backup scrubs in the NFC.
Hey, I fuck with Case heavy. Case Keenum, I mess with him heavy.
Oh, yeah. He's from around the area. Okay. I used to like him.
And he's a guy. Yeah? He's one of those guys he's a white guy that gets the black QB treatment, sort of like Tebow, because he's not the prototypical quarterback. You know, just like this guy, Tyrod Taylor, who took his team to the playoffs. But this is the same team that set him for a rookie because, you know, just nonsense. You know, hard being a non.
Scott Peterman, the guy who threw five picks in one half.
Yeah, like, you know. So, Case Keenum gets that same sort of treatment. He's a good quarterback. He wins usually when he plays, but he's not a big tall guy. He's not a just a pocket passer. So he doesn't get the love and he doesn't get the love that he deserves. And you know, he's a white quarterback that understands what brothers are going through every day. So I got much love for Case Keenum. He's the real deal.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I like Minnesota just for my guy Stephon Diggs, man. I rock with him. So, and it's funny how you mentioned Tyrod Taylor getting that kind of treatment, because a lot of people, they think, oh, you know, Tyrod Taylor, he sucks. You could probably bench him for Peterman like the coach probably thought. But if you look at Tyrod Taylor's stats last year, the guy probably should have made the Pro Bowl. I think he had like 17 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, 3,000 yards passing, 62% completion percentage. Tyrod Taylor was really under the radar last year. But nobody pays attention to that. Wonder why. We know what time it is, will it? Good point, my man.
Yeah, and, I mean, but Buffalo Bills stink. And, you know, and he's a little small black quarterback. And they don't, those guys ain't going to get no love. They got to win the Super Bowl. And even Wilson probably still doesn't get the love that he deserves because he's a little small black quarterback. So.
That's crazy, man. You know, Seattle signed, I don't want to talk about the guy since he's not here, but he's always blown me up about how he can't stand Russell Wilson. And the guy had an MVP-type season. Every week, this guy's bashing Russell Wilson. And I'm a 49er fan. No love for Seattle. Really don't care for Seattle at all. But I know whenever we play Seattle, that motherfucker makes magic, man. I can't stand Russell Wilson. He's the king of that backyard bullshit, but... And he's even got a ring to go for it. So, but nobody will forget that interception pass. I think that's the ghost he lives with.
That's the ghost the coach lives with.
Well, that's Pete Carroll. Sorry, ass for you. But there's the football fix, folks. Hope you're enjoying the playoffs. But we got some boxing talk to get to. With my guy, starting off the top of the hour, Arizlandy Lara and Jared Hurd. You know, they've been talking about this back and forth on Twitter, starting with her going at Arizlandy Lara, talking about getting a unification bout, talking about he wants to fight the best guy in the division. After his last fight, which was a sloppy fight, which he came out on top, he was talking about fighting Charlo. And then, of course, we're talking about Big Maul Charlo. And then he's talking about, well, he'll fight Lara. Much respect. The guy's got guts if he wants to do something that people like Adonis Stevenson are afraid of. There's a lot of guys out there who don't want to walk into the lion's den to do what needs to be done in the sport. So much respect, credit to Hurd, but it looks like that fight's about to get set up. And I like the look of this fight. There's boxing fans out there that they make me real cringeworthy when they watch Arizlandy Lara fight and they start to yawn or stuff like that. If you recall Arizlandy Lara's last fight, the crowd was booing right when Arizlandy Lara drops my man with that straight sniper-like left hand that he has. So Arizlandy Lara is a master of the sport, a master of the sweet science, and he never gets the respect since we're on this kind of this wave of guys not getting respect. And Arizlandy Lara, being a Cuban brother, definitely doesn't get respect from, I'd say, a vast majority of probably 75% to 60% of the boxing fans out there. And that's a shame, because Arizlandy Lara, ever since his L to Canelo, quote-unquote, don't think he lost that fight, but ever since his L, he's been taking care of business. He's been putting dudes out, didn't take his man out last fight, went to the cards, but prior to that, he's been putting boys out, man. He's been giving them that really good work, and fans still, you know, if you tell me about Arizlandy Lara fight, I don't think nobody's going to schedule their weekend around that. Nonetheless, Arizlandy Lara, Jared Hurd, Willa, your thoughts?
Hey, man, I think this is a good this is great. This is great for one of the toughest divisions. This is the, the light middleweight or junior middleweight or super welterweight. I don't know. It's like 1,000 names for it, right? But this is I think this is good for one of the best divisions in there. They both have belts, right? WBA versus the WBC, if I'm correct. So this will unify some belts. Then we've got you know, even, you know, her, I don't think is on the same level. If we're going to talk about the fight, we'll make our predictions as it gets closer. But, you know, Herd is a champion.
Yeah.
He looked real weak his last fight, very sloppy. But he sort of, I think he has power. I think he's 21-0, 15 KOs. So, you know, he has a little power. And he does, and he will fight. You know, he's not running around dancing like Laura. You know, Laura's a more supreme boxer, but this is fighting. So, you know, it should be an all right fight, maybe a good fight, depending on what Laura shows up. But this can bring clarity because these guys will unify. My man Mel is out here trying to get the Ali fight. They unify. Then maybe at the end of the year, we will have another undisputed champion. And I think that's great for boxing. And I think these guys, you know, Ali, who is one of my guys, and Jamel Charlo, who is a Houston native, one of my guys. I don't think they're scared to fight. So I think this is great. This is just building up for something special, which might be a Charlo versus Laura, which they say, you know, they say would never happen. But I think money talks, and it will happen. And it's building up for an undisputed junior middleweight champion.
Yep.
So, you know, I think this is great,
yep,
man.
Sir.
So, I, you know, no hurt. You know, even though Hurd isn't the, you know, Hurd is what he is, but he's a big body out there. So he might be able to give Laura some work. We know Laura, you know, you wonder that 60% of boxing fans that doesn't give Laura respect. I am one of them. Because he's a Cuban brother. And as we saw in 2017, the Cuban brother is the worst kind of brother when it comes to heart and boxing. That's it. Just talking about heart and boxing. We're not talking about anything else. Just talking about heart and boxing. We got cheaters, quitters, and guys who got the win, but they would rather run around the ring at the end and lose. So it is what it is.
Man.
But hey, but this is great. This is great for boxing. This is great for the junior middleweight division. And I'm excited. I'm excited, man. 2018 is shaping up to be very good.
Coming in hot early, Will and man. As you mentioned, yeah, IBF junior middleweight champion Jared Herd. He's on a mission to unify the division. You know, first target being on his list to be Arizona Lara, the WBA IBO world champion. And, I mean, you know, the Cuban curse, as you mentioned, Cuban fighters not really living up to their potential in the biggest of moments when it comes to a big fight. You know, we're talking about one of the most dangerous divisions in boxing. You know, there's so much that can happen, as you mentioned. Arizlani Lara being boys with the Charlos, saying they're never going to fight. But, you know, the business side of it always
now,
takes
over.
Now, the
talk is they'll fight.
Yeah.
I mean, the talk is for both Jamal and Jamel is that they will fight. I wish I would have asked them that when I had a chance, but I'll probably get another chance. But from what I've been hearing, they both are like, hey, it is what it is. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's got to be the next one you hit him with, because I'm pretty sure he's going to start getting those questions coming up pretty soon here. These guys are on a collision course with each other. Who comes out of the mish? I don't know. I know Arizona Lara is probably the most skilled. Charlo, the most dangerous. And Herd, probably, he might have, I don't know. He might have a lot of heart. In his last fight, as you mentioned, he didn't really look that good. But he did show a lot of grit, a lot of determination, a lot of heart in that fight because he was taking some shots 100%. But Jared Herd's always been a guy I kept an eye on over the years. It's hard to miss a brother with the lightning bolt on his chest that says Swift. So he's always stood out, and it wasn't necessarily for his boxing skills, even though he's a solid competitor 100%. But I like the fact that he's going to, you know, test his grit against a guy like Arizona Lara. I personally think it might be target practice for my man, but who knows? Because
yeah.
it could go either way. It could be target practice for Arizona Ilara, or is Arizona Ilara getting, you know, at the later half of his career? And it might be a good time to get a good win on your resume against a guy like Arizona Ilara, like we've seen with Lomachenko getting Rigo. So you might catch some of these guys at the end of their career who once had elite skills, but if you know, a young dude comes
Trout
in there and
gave him work,
blood,
man.
Yeah, Trout's a Trout's a tough dude, man. Unless you can land a flush hard shot on him, then you start to see Bambi on ice. But yeah, you know, Trout is a one of those. He's a pretty damn good competitor. Also, a guy who beat your boy Canelo. Trout is really good, man, for sure. I like Trout. He's a good gatekeeper. You know what I mean? We always use terms around here, but everybody knows what we mean about a gatekeeper. So he's not a bum, but he's has skill above a bum, and he'll be a good. He'll give somebody a pass if you want to take, if a fighter's, you know, taking a certain type of fight, whatever, whatever, and you get Austin Trout off your resume. There you go. You can do that. But Arizona Ilara vows, or he actually warns Jarrett Hurd during this whole little beef they had, that he doesn't seem really worried about Hurd at all. He's like, okay, man, if you want this fight, just look at Alfredo Angulo's eye socket. And that's what I plan on doing to you, because who could forget when Arizona Ilara, you know, was getting that work from Alfredo Apero Angulo back in the day, dropped Lara, was in, had him in danger zone. Next thing you know, Arizona Ilara with that piston-like left hand. He can do some damage. Arizona Ilara gave Angulo one of the quickest big baseball socket-looking eyes I've ever seen in boxing. It happened so quick. Next thing you know, it was just slowly growing. Yes, sir.
Hey, RC, this is something that is mind-boggling to me. What is the official name of this weight class? Is it super welterweight?
Junior middleweight.
Are those two different? Are these? So you're saying okay. So a super welterweight,
junior middleweight.
What
is
super welterweight?
Well, that's probably Canelo weight. Canelo weight.
No. Because I'm looking.
No.
Saddam Ali in the box rec is a super welterweight, right? And I think all these guys are considered super welterweights, right? Or am I tripping? You know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not. I'm not the
junior.
The boxing.
No, I see.
No, they're calling it super welterweight. They got Laura as a super welterweight. Junior middleweight and super welterweight are the same thing.
Yeah, I see. I see what you're saying right now.
So
you know,
there's no such thing as junior. I don't think junior middleweight is the real term. I think he's got the IBO super welterweight title, right?
Well,
the WBA super
welterweight
title.
Well, you know, we got all these divisions in boxing. They probably just have different names so they could continue to have different sanctioning bodies for different money and different belts. So that's probably what that is. They have just different divisions, kind of like varsity and JV. So basically.
No, because they're the champ. No. I think we need to figure that out. I think they're the same thing. Because if I'm looking, so let's look at what Charlo is, right? Jermell Charlo. You know, I think in Box Rec they're going to have him as the super welterweight champion, and I think maybe Ring TV has junior middleweights, but they're the same thing. So let's not. So as boxing guys on the podcast, we got to know what's going on. And I don't think it's
boxing.
I don't think it's JV or middle. I just think it's probably just two different names for the same thing.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I always looked at them as junior middleweights, personally. Welterweights would be a super welterweight. I would look at a guy like Kell Brook, you know what I'm saying? So, as far as I'm concerned, junior middleweights is what these gentlemen are, and that's what we'll go with. So, because then once you're talking about the next level up, we're at regular middleweights, and that's the real murderer's role. We talk about how dangerous the junior middleweight is, but welterweight division moving forward is the real murderer's row. don't get any easier for your boy Canelo and Triple G, because we got killers in the Lions Den ready to pounce on these boys. But lucky for Triple G and Canelo, they're probably going to fight each other for, you know, the next four or five fights in a row. But that's here nor there. Junior middleweight, you feel me?
Yeah.
Your boy Canelo's in trouble, Willa. And I didn't mean to bring that one up and throw that sidebar at you, but I've seen you posting funny pictures with Canelo chilling with the homies and his little Christmas outfit with some dudes in prison. Where do you find this stuff at, Willa?
Oh, I don't know. I just, one day I posted that Canelo had the thing where he was in Christmas with all the gifts, and then the next day I just looked on the line and somebody put that in, and I just thought that was hilarious. You know, as being a number one Canelo fan, I'm sure the essays on Cell Block and Cell Block 4 are now with Canelo. So I just, you know, I think it goes together because he's real.
That's funny, man. That's funny. Speaking of one of your boys that I also seen you talking about online, your boy Manny Pacquiao is in the news because he's got a big fight coming up. And you know, as I know, or you know damn well that I'm a Manny Pacquiao guy. And I got to ask you, Willa, this fight coming up with Mike Alvarado, are you as excited as I am for this big fight that's going to be on display for boxing fans? We're going to have old school boxing at its finest with Manny Pacquiao and Mike Alvarado, which is a give a dog a bone type of fight, stay busy fight, because Bob Arum mentioned that the Jeff Horn Terrence Crawford winner most likely gets Manny Pacquiao. So, Manny Pacquiao, Alvarado, how hyped are you for that, Willa?
I'm not hyped at all, but I will watch it. I think Alvarado is on the winning streak. And I think that they have been KOs, in fact. This could be.
Well, he's been finding some guys at the bar that could fight, huh? Good for him.
Yeah, this could be a another cherry picking gone wrong. Yeah. So he's fighting bum, but this is you know, we've got, he's coming off what, KO, TKO, MD, and KO, whatever the hell MD is. I'm not really sure what the hell that is, but
majority decision.
Yeah, my bad. I'm tripping. Yeah, majority decision. So he's coming off with four wins. Three of them being knockouts. So, you know, this could, you know, Manny, you better hope he's crisp. And he should be. You know, last time we saw Alvarado fought anybody any good, it was Brandon Rios, and he's not even really that good, and that was easy work. And but Marquez didn't sleep him. So, yeah, so, you know, Alvarado's been took a lot of beatings. Yeah, he done took a lot of beatings, and he should be easy work for Pacquiao. You say this is a tune-up or a gimme fight, give a dog a bone, and it should be, but so should have Jeff Horn. So we're going to see. I'm going to watch it, and I'll be very tickled if we see this boy Manny sleep on the ground and wake it up and calling it quits before he can even get a taste of that Crawford ass whooping. So. You know,
oh man,
I'm not hating this. This might be an all right fight.
Don't you do that, Willa. Manny Pacquiao, he's trying to get this win so he get his rematch with Floyd Mayweather. He's still ready for that Floyd fight, which a lot of people think it was a closer fight than was that was on the cards when it happened. Manny Pacquiao still might have it, Willa. And hey, I can see Alvarado going to sleep. Yeah, he might. I mean, he's still looking good on the bag. Hey, Jeff Horn, sleep on that. Don't sleep on Jeff Horn. That's a big white dude who knows how to use his body. There's big guys in boxing, but they don't know how to use their size to their advantage. Jeff Horn definitely knows how to use his size. He's a bully when it comes to using his size. He was a bully against Manny Pacquiao in Australia that they had. And your boy, Terrence Crawford, better be careful, Willa, because Jeff Horn, he's feeling like he's on top of the world after beating Manny Pacquiao. He's talking about fighting Floyd. He's talking about Errol Spence could get that work. He's talking about everybody. He's talking about the Chiefs.
Hey, Jeff, man, get that Australian
everybody can get
nigga out of here. Get him out of here, man.
Watch out, Terrence Crawford, because Terrence Crawford, talk about cherry picking gone wrong. You was a bully against Gamboa, and now you're going to be looking up at somebody who knows how to use their size. Terrence Crawford, you better, hey, will it be moving up in weight class a little too soon? I don't know, man. We might give back Jeff Horn a little bit more credit than he deserves, especially after beating Manny Pacquiao, calling out everybody in the division. Watch out, Willa. This Australian dude might be the real deal.
I see, RC, oh, yeah. You've been working on your stand-up. See, you've been working on your stand-up out here for the 2018, and you're coming in hot, dog. But come on, fuck out of here. Ain't nobody worried about no damn Jeff Horn.
All right.
And from what it sounds like, he's not really trying to fight anybody either.
Hey, he warned everybody in the division. Earl Spence, Keith Thurman, he warned them all, even Terrence Crawford. So Jeff Horn ain't afraid of nobody. He might be known as Jeff Legend Killer Horn moving forward after what he did to Manny Pacquiao. And who knows? We know Floyd Mayweather liked to duck a lot of people in his career. Maybe he don't want to come back out of retirement and face Jeff Horn for his 51st fight.
Yeah. We'll see, man, but I doubt it. But as far as Manny, man, this should be easy work for Manny. But we also said that his last fight, so we'll see. But unlike Jeff Horn, Alvarado is damaged goods. But he's damaged goods. He can actually box. I mean, not box. He can punch. He can punch. So we'll see, man.
Interesting. And moving forward, speaking of a guy who can punch, going through the big guys. Now, Will, I'm a little curious about this one because you're not a real big fan of Russians and not so sure how you felt about a guy like Ruslan Provodnikov as far as a Russian that looks like a Chinaman. But you heard about this kid, Bevo, who's got, I believe, 12 fights under his belt, who's supposedly supposed to get a fight scheduled coming really soon against your boy Sullivan Barrera, Cuban fighter. But Sullivan Barrera says there's a dilemma going on with getting this contract signed. Soon as they mention bladder testing. Now, we know that these Russians have certain protein shakes over there. And it's a way of life, some say. That's pure speculation. I don't know 100%, but we all seen the Rocky movies and what Ivan Drago was doing. Now, he hasn't responded for a few weeks, possibly clearing his system out of whatever might be in there, or maybe he's just got baby mama drama down in Russia where he ain't got time to talk about boxing or about Sullivan Barrera and signing no damn contract. I don't know. Does it raise an eyebrow? Because I would think that if I mention anything to you about bladder testing, if we're going to box, and you was just so down with this whole fight leading up to it, but as soon as you heard bladder testing, it's like, yo, where'd you go, Willa? Can't get a hold of him, anything like that. And Bevo, everyone's talking about how powerful this guy is. His last fight, he knocked the dude out with a straight through the fucking guard. And they're talking about how he's more powerful than Sergey Kovalev, building him up pretty good already. The guy's a young fighter, only 12 fights under his belt. But this Bevo guy is, I mean, he looks like the goods. A lot of power. Like I said, you're blocking right in front of your face, and this guy's glove still comes through and knocks you out. That's knockout power, Willa. But when you hear about bladder testing and this guy disappears, what do you think about that?
Hey, man. I'm never going to trust any kind of Russian when it comes to, I don't know if he's Russian, but any kind of guy, yeah, he is Russian. So any kind of Russian over there, any kind of guy that USSR, no matter if they look white or Asian, this guy's a little mix in between. He's a little Asian, and she's got that little Asian feel, big old white boy. You know, he's quiet. You know, I mean, we know what it is. We know exactly what it is. It's probably 90% chance that if a Russian is knocking guys out and looking great while doing it, he's juiced up. And when Vada, like your boy said, he was waiting on it, but no, when Vada was said, he disappeared. And this doesn't surprise me. And so, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But do I want to see him knock boys out? Yeah, I do. So, you know, he needs to figure a way to maneuver around it like everybody else has been doing. And get his money. I'm not hating on him. Allegedly he's juicing. That's what I would tend to believe. But at the same time, I want to see boys get knocked out. And you know, at that division, we don't. You know, the guys that are really, you know, Adonis Stevenson. I think he's finally going to fight this year, a good fight. But besides him. Not too many, him and Wilder and a few other guys. They're not laying bombs like these guys are, and they're needed in boxing. We need bombers in boxing. And so, you know, if you got to do it legally or illegally, just don't get caught. And I don't really give a shit.
You encourage this sort of thing, huh? Wow.
All gonna get exposed. You'll get exposed eventually. You know, if you need it to win, you'll get exposed. So you know, knocking out these little, you know,
whoops his ass. Yeah, if Sullivan Barrera comes out and whoops his ass, or he doesn't show any of that power, if this fight ever gets made, we know definitely 100% what time it is. We know Biblo is probably missing his Mike's magic stuff from Space Jam. You know what I'm saying? That water bottle that might have a little bit of kick to it and all that stuff. So, and I was a fan of this kid coming up when I've seen him fighting. I always like a good Russian fighter. They're like a bad guy in the movies that you need in boxing, because these guys are just, they're on a different level. And what level that might be, it might have high levels of extra testosterone or things like that, because it's a way of life in Russia. They seen how Ivan Drago was doing it in the movies, and they want to be strong like Russia, you know? So does it raise an eyebrow? 100% it raises an eyebrow. And I think it turned me off as far as the fandom that I had for this guy moving forward. I don't like cheaters, like I mentioned earlier. I don't like cheaters like Tom Brady or any of those fucks in the Patriots organization. But, as you mentioned, you like Tom Brady, and you like seeing knockouts. So, God bless anybody who's fighting a cheater and gets put on
You're a Manny Pacquiao fan, right?
Yes, sir. What's that got to do with anything?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Manny Pacquiao was never caught cheating for nothing, and you know it.
But that's what I said. If you don't get caught, I don't care. And you feel the same way. You know, we can sit here and deny it. We can sit here and deny it. But know and I know.
Nope.
I know that a guy coming from 102 pounds to 147 still knocking boys out without a little extra sauce in there.
He never got caught.
Therefore, we don't care. We don't want to. You don't want to ask the real questions.
Hey, three things, Willa. Three things. God.
Three things.
Hard work.
One.
God.
Two.
Hard work, and rice. That's what Manny Pacquiao did coming up in his career. And there was no
white. I think he said Weiss with a W.
Nope. Manny Pacquiao had never been in trouble for anything like that. And speculation from people all around the world about Manny Pacquiao is buffoonery, because in this country, innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, and Manny Pacquiao has never been proven for doing any kind of cheating. And if you ain't got no proof, we ain't got no case. Manny Pacquiao is a clean dude, and people just can't stand the fact that he has bigger calf muscles than most dudes walking this earth. So, get that out of here, Willa. Unless you got some paperwork proving to me that Manny Pacquiao was doing something dirty, The allegations mean nothing to me, good sir.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I just said. Allegations mean nothing to me. That's exactly what I just said. These are all allegations. You're talking. You're mad at this guy for allegations. I think we've allegated. There's been allegations that Pacquiao was on it, and there was also a point where they said he was on it. He started testing. All of a sudden, his knockouts, he ain't knocking people out anymore. So, you know, that's why I'm just saying. Well, sometimes we keep it real. Sometimes we keep it Sacramento Kings.
No. Negative, sir. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Crowd stopped laughing at nothing. So what happened was Manny Pacquiao, yeah, he got knocked out by Marquez. So what? It happened. And what happened after that was Manny Pacquiao wasn't fighting the same no more. He didn't want to throw bombs with dudes and knock everybody out like he used to, so he started fighting safer like your boy Floyd Money Mayweather. And Manny Pacquiao, if you ask me, he became a better fighter because of it. Sure, he might have lost to Jeff Horn, but if Manny Pacquiao fought his entire career like Floyd Mayweather did, running and being afraid of dudes and retiring and letting people in the division kick each other's ass and then he comes back, Pacquiao might have been undefeated. And the only reason these allegations were brought up is because your boy, Floyd Mayweather, was scared to fight him when he was putting dudes out. And Floyd was like, oh, well, this guy's too strong. What's going on? He's got to be doing something. I can't knock out dudes like that. My hand's too brittle. I don't know. But that's where this whole thing started, because Floyd Money Mayweather was too chicken to get in the ring with Manny Pacquiao when Manny Pacquiao was putting dudes out and making guys like Ricky Hatton look up at the sky in only 5 minutes and 59 seconds when he seen him. And we all know that, you know, Floyd Mayweather, he goes the distance with Oscar De La Hoya, controversial win. Manny Pacquiao makes Oscar quit. Floyd Mayweather puts out Ricky Hatton in 6 rounds. Pacquiao puts him out in 2. Pacquiao finished Floyd Mayweather's dudes a lot quicker than Floyd Mayweather did, and Floyd Mayweather was scared, dog. He didn't want no work from Manny Pacquiao, and that's where the whole eyebrow-raising thing came from. Fact or fiction, Willa?
That's fiction. Hey, but what is fact, what is 100% fact, is that there were allegations about Manny Pacquiao. You don't care. Then you say you're accepting the allegation about this young Russian guy, and you don't like him because of the allegation. So I'm just saying, it's something that's some kind of there's something that's not connecting, and we all know what it is. You're a Manny Pacquiao
I don't play
fan.
Physics.
Yeah, except you just did it. We've seen you do it. We just talking about allegations. Yeah. He hasn't failed a test. It's just allegations, and you don't like this guy. But Manny Pacquiao, he was died. He went from knocking everybody out to getting to people saying that he's on roids to not knocking everybody out. You know, so like you said, he hasn't been caught, so I don't care. The other guy ain't been caught, so I don't care. But it's all good, man. I just wanted to put that out there, that sometimes rockets are we can keep it king. No, it's just a king moment. But it's all good, man.
Keep it rocket or keep it.
You could be BCS. You could be BCS or you can be Miami Hurricane.
5-time national champion. And you, that's funny. Hey, look, I got a question for you since you got all the answers this morning or this afternoon. Let's.
I think we got my man Janelle on too. Just throw that out there. I think he's on our text.
Janelle, we're gonna get to you right now. Let me just ask Willow this one quick question, and Willow, you could get right to Janelle, and he could give us his thoughts on all this. I just got to ask you this since you got all the answers this afternoon, Willow. Let's say you're working for Mr. Beeblow, and you got a Russian flag and a United States flag on your letterman's jacket, in which you'd be a part of his team dealing with public relations, PR moves, and all that good stuff. Let's say what happens right now is happening where, you know, he goes ghost and all that. What are you advising that cheater, I mean, Mr. Beeblow, what would you advise him to come out with and say? Because, hey, going ghost from contract negotiations for a couple weeks after he brings up testing is really suspicious. So what would you advise him to come out and say? Because he's got to come out and make a statement publicly real soon. Otherwise, we're going to know that this dude's cheating. What would you advise him to say to the public view just to try to clear up some of this bad air that's sneaking up about this man cheating?
This is what I would do. You know, being an up-and-coming Russian star, I know that we've got the eye and the ear of Vladimir Putin. I make the call. And just to say this is true and he is and he ghosted, we're not saying that, but it's just hypothetically. I make the call and I say, hey, man, who died yesterday? They say, Miguel Kalinske died. And I say, okay, need y'all to make it where Miguel Kalinske is my guy's cousin. We come out, hey, we ghosted, our cousin was killed. We ghosted the thing. We'll be back. It's that easy. You know, we're talking about Russia here. It's very easy to spin, make it happen, and being a champion and being a guy that's knocking everybody out, you know, I think that'll be easy work to do. But this guy will be back. Is he probably on the roids? Probably. Did he get exposed? Probably. But a lot of people get exposed. As long as he don't get caught and he doesn't get caught, it really don't matter to me, like I always said. And like you said, but not really.
Don't like cheaters, that's what I say. But, yo, we still got Janelle on. Hey, good one, by the way, Will, a good one. That's a good public relation move that I get, go out for the viewers. But, oh, that's why he disappeared. His cousin died. So-and-so, whatever, whatever. Good one. I like that. But, Janelle, if you're on the line with us, my man, we talked about we could start off with this Devlo Barrera, and if you want to add on to what we talked about as far as Herd and Lara, feel free, my man. You're on the Outsiders Boxing Podcast. What's good?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Well, a few things you tapped into. I want to talk about the whole Terrence Crawford at 147 and Jeff Horn. In a way, I agree with some things you said about Jeff Horn, and I think Terrence Crawford is going to be in for the awakening. I think he's going to win, but he's not going to steamroll the 147 division the way people think he is. I mean he's going to have some serious problems. And when them guys hit him and start pulling him around and start tying him up, and he's going to realize that 147 is a big jump from 140. You know what I mean? It might sound like just 7 pounds, but these are guys that are boiling down from damn 170 to 147. And he's going to realize it once he starts getting hit. Right, even when guys like Thurman swing and miss, and he feels the wind off Thurman's shots, even off of a missed shot, you know, he's going to feel that shit. He's going to be like, God damn. This is welterweight division right here. These are some big boys. Same thing with Errol Spence. So it's like, I mean, everybody thinking that he's going to jump in and just steamroll guys like Horn? I don't think so. I favor Crawford to beat Horn, but I don't think he's going to fucking steamroll him. You know, I mean, it's like you said about the whole Gamboa thing. I mean, he won that fight in my eyes only because, like, he was just that much bigger than he was. Because actually, he was getting outboxed easily early in that fight. But Gamboa, and they began to impose his natural size strength. I mean, kind of remind me of the De La Hoya-Hopkins fight. De La Hoya was winning the fight, but after Hopkins started imposing his natural strength advantage, it was just easy pickings after that. And I just think Crawford's going to be up for rude awakening at 147. I don't think Horn's going to beat him, but you're going to be surprised on how much he's going to struggle with Horn. I favor that's what I said about that.
And we also got him that you had Victor Postol beating Terrence Crawford. So with all that said, let's all just remember that you don't really believe this guy for some strange reason.
No. After that fight is why I became a believer of him. I'm just saying that he's not gonna. Oh, you think he's have easy time at 147? Is that what you're saying?
Against Jeff Horn.
I'm just saying he's not. No, I don't think it's gonna be easy. He's gonna win on points. He's not knocking Horn out. I don't see that happening. We couldn't knock out Postol. I mean, I don't see him knocking Horn out. I favor him to win that fight.
I would say
knock
out. Just easy work.
Yep.
Probably KO. We'll see.
I just think he's going to – I mean, he's going to be a rude awakening at 147. That's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah, I mean, As far as what RSC was about the whole Pacquiao, about how there was never no evidence. There's a video out there that I mentioned like several weeks ago on the show about how Freddie Roach will confront Alex Ariza on what are you giving him, and Alex Ariza would just change his story and never answer the question. And after that fight, okay, that was around the time when he fought Mark Rito. And after that fight, when I believe they dropped Alex Ariza, and after that fight, Pacquiao never looked the same again. You know, I mean, there's a video out there going around about that. I don't know if you've seen that video, but it's out there.
Hey, man.
He's seen it.
Just because he had
it's
no,
on YouTube. He probably reported it as spam.
It's on YouTube, bro.
I know what you're talking about.
He probably reported it as spam.
There's no getting around it. And after that fight,
nope.
Manny Pacquiao has never looked that strong again. That's interesting. Some interesting shit.
Hold up. Check this out. The only reason that happened was because Alex Ariza was just, he had an agenda. And look, I get it. Ever since he left the camp, Manny Pacquiao hasn't looked the same. Take a look
never.
At Matt Ryan.
No way.
MVP last year. MVP last year. He's got the same players around him on the team. No Kyle Shanahan. Now he's a different player. So, yeah, it just goes for show in any sport that if you lose a coach,
he's in the
off. It might not be the same.
Hey,
he's
Manny
in the playoffs.
And he had a
I don't think he even threw 1,000 punches in a fight since he left Alex Ariza. I don't think he even threw 1,000 punches in a fight since he left Alex Ariza. I actually highly doubt it. I just don't – I don't see that.
Hey.
And Manny Pacquiao has gotten smaller since. He's gotten smaller. That raises eyebrows. Okay, I'm not saying the guy is dirty, but that raised eyebrows how when Alex Ariza was in the corner and Freddie Rose mentioned this on video – not an article, not a bullshit article where, okay, you don't know who the hell wrote it. It's a video. And then after that, you never see Manny Pacquiao, this ultra-aggressive guy anymore. You never see him throw bombs and heavy-handed punches from beginning to end the way he did when Alex was in his corner. I mean, that's something that raises eyebrows.
He's afraid to get knocked out.
Huh? No.
He's afraid to get
even
knocked
before,
out again. That's
even
why.
Before Marquez put him to sleep. Even before Marquez put him to sleep. He wasn't looking the same, man. He just wasn't that same guy in – that just raised eyebrows. Now, I'm not saying the guy was dirty. I'm not saying he wasn't, but that shit raised eyebrows. That's something to really think on, man. I just don't think that's a coincidence. That's a pretty big coincidence.
Hey, speaking of which, Janelle,
as far as
does it raise eyebrows? Does it raise an eyebrow to you at all about this whole Bevlo, Mr. Up and Coming Russia, that he's afraid of, or not afraid, but all of a sudden he went ghost on contract negotiations with Sullivan Barrera. As soon as they mentioned Vlada Tepes, what do you think about that?
Hey, man, professional sports, this guy's always showing the upper hand. And honestly, I'm not even surprised anymore. I mean, professional sports, I'm saying, who would have thought that baseball guys are using steroids? I mean, who would have thought that? But it happens, man, because it's a long season, and the steroids does prepare your muscles a lot faster than normal. There's dozens of multiple steroids out there to use to help you repair your muscles a lot faster through a long season. Hey, guys, we're going to do what they got to do, man. I mean, guys are going to cheat. It just is what it is. So I can't even be surprised anymore. I think we all should stop being surprised, honestly. And I'm not just fighters abroad, but even fighters here at home. Guys just got to stop being surprised. As far as with this Laura Hurd fight, I think Laura is going to prove that Laura is still the best 154-pounder out there. I mean, he's going to make up for his last performance.
Janelle, do you call that junior, middleweight, are super welterweight?
It's both.
What do you call it?
It's both.
It's the
both.
Same damn
I mean,
thing.
Both.
Okay.
It's both. It's both. You know what I mean? It's a bunch of junior divisions, and, you know, it just is what it is. But I think he's going to rise to the occasion. He's going to show the world, and he's going to make up for his last performance, and he's going to show the world that he's still the best super welterweight or junior middleweight out there. And he's going to dust her off. He's going to dust him off. He's going to make a little routine.
I think we all agree.
I mean, I think I think he probably feels like I think that he's right for the picking right now because his last fight, he looked at people like he's slipping, and now people calling him out, which is like, damn, people haven't called this guy out in years. I mean, who do I want to fight Laura? Oh, the last person that called him out was Paul Williams, and Paul Williams got out boxed easily in that fight, if you ask me. But, I think Law is going to show the world that he's still the best out there 154. And he's going to dust his kid off. He's going to make it look routine. I was going to remind me of the Laura fight. When Laura fought Chout, it's going to be similar to that. He's just going to make it look so routine. And he's going to show everybody that he's still the best out there at 154. I just don't think Hurts got the goods to knock Laura off.
So I got a question. Hey, Janelle, if, you know, like I was saying, Ali and Mel Charlo are talking about fighting. This is so we could have an undisputed junior middleweight real soon. Do you think that would be Laura? If Laura and Mel fought, do you think Laura would win?
It's good for boxing, but I think Laura's gonna. I think Laura is the best 154 guy out there. He's gonna beat any single one of them. He will beat Ali. He will beat any one of them. I don't think anyone at 154 is gonna problem.
Charlo.
Kell Brook might give him problems. Until mentally he begins to fade, you know what I'm saying, and take a knee
Charlo,
or something and just
Charlo.
Start quit again. No.
Will he beat Jermell Charlo?
Yes. I favor him to beat anybody at 154. Anyone at 154.
Okay.
Anyone.
I mean, hey, he is skilled. He should be able to. But I think at the end of the day, he's Cuban. And I think when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, he's going to give up. Or before the fight, he's going to cheat. Like we've seen most Cubans do in the last
four years. Cuban, but I know who's still the proven guy out there as a pro.
As what? What do you mean?
I'm only saying what? Who's Cuban? Are you talking about
Rigondeaux and Ortiz, the cheater and the quitter?
Cheater and the quitter.
Ortiz, no cheater.
Yeah, they're just suspect. They're just suspect. They just been going out like they've been dropping like flies. Last time we saw Laura in the big fight, he was winning, but he was scared to get it done He actually beat Canelo. I'm a Canelo fan, but he lost it at the end, being a simp. And you can't do that. I don't think he'll be able to do that against Charlo.
That was his fault. See, that was his fault because I predicted Canelo by robbery, and I really don't feel sorry for Laura getting cheated at that fight because honestly, he should have known that going into that fight, the judges were not going to give you a decision fighting like that.
Right.
I said Floyd Mayweather almost got robbed by fighting Canelo. A judge scored that should have drawn. So imagine that fight was close. Imagine if that fight was close like this fucking Cotto Mayweather fight was. How every round was close, even though Floyd was winning them, but every round was close.
Right.
Oh, Floyd would have an L.
No, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. I think at the end of the day.
And Laura should have known going into that fight that, hey, you got to leave an impression on these judges. Unless you score a knockout, you're not getting the fucking decision on Canelo fighting like that. I'm not saying go toe-to-toe with him. I'm saying make it be known that, hey, you lost this fight at the end. It's like with the word and call Frotch fight. All right, Frotch, after the fight with Darrell, okay, now he didn't feel like he was losing. He didn't feel like he was a loser at all. After the word fight, even if word got robbed, I think Frotch would have known, okay, yeah, I lost this fight. You saw how at the end of the fight, how he just looked like a fucking beaten fighter. And he said, okay, I got to go back to the gym. And I got to work on some things. I got to work on la la and such. In other words, he knew he was beat. You know what I mean? So it was like, hey, in order to win a decision over Canelo, that's what you got to do. You got to take the fight out of him. You know what I'm saying? Like the fucking Mayweather did. Canelo knew he lost that fight. And then one judge scored it a draw.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, no, that and the one judge was like, no. And the Canelo team was, no, that wasn't a draw. That wasn't a draw. That wasn't a draw at all. I mean, you got to let it be known, hey, that you lost this fight at the end. And Laura should have known that. I'm sorry. I know I don't like seeing guys get robbed. I've been screwed in a fight before. But, hey, you fighting Canelo, you fighting the Golden Child. It's like you got to fucking take the fight out and let them know that, hey, you lost this fight at the end. And so, I don't feel sorry for Laura about that fight. I really don't.
Pretty sure going into this rematch, Janelle, I'm pretty sure Triple G's got to know that Canelo's got one judge in his pocket. So if it goes to the cards, it's got to be completely landslided. Otherwise, you ain't going to get that win. Pretty sure he's not.
That fight, man, Triple G didn't look too good himself in that fight. I mean, he didn't look, he looked very sluggish in that fight. He did not look like Triple G of 2.5-3 years ago. So it's like, people saying about how, Triple G got robbed. If you watch that fight again, man, Triple G missed a lot of shots. Canelo made him miss a lot, but he made him pay a lot. And that's why it was kind of hard to give him some rounds. But Triple G just didn't look good himself, so it's like, hey. I mean, whoever said whatever, I don't really argue unless
he's
a little more evil. Yeah.
Hey, Janelle, hey. Laura's fighting Charlo. It's a close fight. It's the 10th round. Do you believe that Laura has the heart to to get in there, the nitty gritty, when it's time to win. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That's it. I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen it happen. But you believe he does. I don't believe it. He's got to prove that to me.
He showed hard before the fight. He showed harder than Gulo. He got floored a few times. He showed a lot of heart in that fight. I mean, people probably saying that he probably slipped a little bit around. He probably slipped a little bit past the years, but I still think he's the best out there. That even Charlo, I don't think Charlo might even put up a close fight with him. I don't think
he might be. Hey,
I'm sure like when
I think Laura has the skills. I think Laura has the skills. I think he's one of the best boxers in the game. Does he have the heart? To me, against the Canelo fight, he proved that he don't really have the heart. That's what I saw. Even if you're winning close, you know what's up.
No,
he's going there and box his ass out.
He did hurt his body a couple of times. I guess he was aware of. He's like a little cautious stuff because Canelo did hurt him to the body a few times in that fight.
Right.
And
he's
Canelo
scared to go down.
I mean, but Charlo don't hit like Canelo. I don't think so. I don't think it's a body punch.
Charlo is knocking boys senseless. So, but we'll see. I'm not really a Laura hater.
Body punch wise, I don't think he's a better body punch.
Yeah,
than
I don't know.
And that's what hurt Laura in that fight was the body. His few body shots actually kind of hurt him a bit, and that's what made him kind of really back off at times. And he began backpedaling. But those body shots is what did it.
Cool.
And Canelo is a good body. Canelo's a very underrated body puncher that no one really gives him that much props for, but he's a really good body puncher.
He's all right. He's not bad. He's nothing great. He's got welterweight power in the middleweight division, so good luck to him moving forward. Lucky for him, he's got a good chin, I guess. So, but it don't really matter. The time's coming for him. The clock's about to strike midnight on your boy Willa, and he's going to find himself in a lot of trouble. He's not going to be the cash cow that he's been for the last year or so since Floyd's been gone. And when it happens, there'll be happier since then than me.
I don't think Triple G is going to do it. I like Canelo in the rematch. I like Canelo. I think Triple G is slowing down. Hey, Triple G is slowing down, man. He's slowing down, man. I mean, Jacobs took something out of him. I called him going to the fight with Canelo. And I don't know if you saw the fight that I saw, but I saw a very sloppy Triple G that night, man. Very sloppy. As if all the years of training and boxing is taking a toll on him. Yeah, I mean, he just did not look good in that fight. I like Canelo in his rematch. If he keeps on his body attack and fights in spurts and at a very good pace, that's not gonna get him tired. I think he could stop Triple G with body shots. As long as he keep on a good pace, is not getting too tired. And if you don't get him too tired, his whole problem is that he loads up way too much. And that's why he takes breaks off. Like about 6-7 rounds, he'll take off to get his energy back. He loads up too much. But if he keeps the pace on where he's mindful of his closed fist shots, probably like 4 rounds or 3 rounds, I think he can stop Triple G in the later rounds.
Definitely a possibility. The thing about it is once he gets past that fight, you're talking about Danny Jacobs. You're talking about
it's not happening. It's not happening.
Talking about Big Charlo.
It's
gonna be tough, man.
I'm gonna avoid Jacobs. Yeah, we'll move Jacobs up to fucking super middleweight. Before that fight happens, trust me. HBO will move him up to 168. Canelo and Triple G will be protected from Jacobs. Mark those words. I'm telling you, neither fighter is gonna fight him again. And Billy Joe Saunders, I don't think neither fighter is gonna even fight him. I think Jacobs need to fight that fight, but see, Joe Saunders only want to fight Jacobs. So who is he gonna fight? And those are the big names right now, 160, because it was talked to that fight, and then I heard something about how Saunders like $5 million to fight Jacobs. In other words, he's bidding himself out.
Because he wants Triple G's O. That's why. That's what's important to him.
I'm saying, but in the meantime, why not fight Jacobs? In the meantime, why not fight Jacobs? If you know
but
Canelo and Triple G. Exactly. Neither one of those three will fight Jacobs. Jacobs will be forced to move up in weight. Trust me. He will be forced to go 168. Now, I'm seeing Joe Saunders is going to wait there for another year until Canelo and Triple G is freed up, and then he's going to fight one of them two. But Canelo, I don't think Canelo's going to fight him. Probably Triple G might take the fight, but I don't know. I just don't see either one of those three fighting Jacob, so he's going to get forced to move up in weight.
Those are the top guys in the division for me. Number one being Danny Jacobs. Number two being Billy Joe Saunders. Willa agreed with me off the air. So that's where it's at right now. I don't think that they'll fight each other. Billy Joe Saunders wants that money, and he wants to get that O
from
Triple G because we all see the decline.
I mean, but Jacobs and Joe Saunders, I believe, was saw the garden. I believe it would.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, it would. That'd be a good fucking fight. Will it
yeah,
fight?
I'm going to knock him out.
I don't think nobody's going to fight Jacobs at 160. He's going to have to get move up in weight.
All right. Janelle, we're coming up to the close of the show right now. I'm going to ask you what I asked Will at the top of the show since it is playoff Sunday and why we're going to wrap it up pretty quick here. Who you got going to the Super Bowl, Janelle?
Super Bowl?
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think Patriots are going to win it again, man. I don't think anybody else is going to beat the Patriots right now. Steelers got some injuries, so when they go against each other in the AFC championship in Foxborough, I just don't see anybody beating those. That's just hope something happens. I'm a diehard hater of the Patriots. Trust me.
Me too.
I don't know who I despise more, the Patriots or the goddamn Cowboys. I don't know who I despise more. Well, I'll say the Patriots.
Who you got coming out in?
But on the same note, you got to give them props, man. Patriots is like the fucking Spurs. I could play basic game, but they're so effective at it. Ain't nothing flashy about the game, but they're just so hard to fucking beat. You know what I mean? And you got to give them props for that. But
100%.
I don't think anybody's beat. It's a tough call, man. It's a tough call. Honestly, this season hasn't been too good for me, honestly. Yeah, I mean, my Giants suck. I grew up a diehard 49ers fan. They're not relevant. You know what I mean? So,
but we got Jimmy G, goddammit. We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Janelle. Well, we're getting ready to wrap it up. We're running out of time here. Willa, you got anything you want to say before we close the show, my man?
No. I just want to say Happy New Year's to everybody. Hopefully this guy Cam whips their ass tonight. I don't know what the score is. Hopefully Tyrod is winning right now. But we'll check it out soon, man.
Oh, sorry to cut y'all off. Hey, February 11th in Houston, Texas. I have a tournament down there, so come check me out, Willa.
We'll be sure to cover. We'll be sure to cover on that one, Janelle, for sure. Well, thank you for joining us, Janelle. Willa, we will be debating next week, as always, at a regularly scheduled time, as we mentioned. And everybody who's with us, glad that I got positive feedback. Me and Willa got positive feedback for the reunion show we had. And Outsiders Boxing Podcast, we will be back next Sunday, Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. Thank you all for joining us. And we'll be back to the debate table next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Outsiders Boxing Podcast, and we out.
Mom, I love you. P.O.P. all the time. 4-4.